If you will, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. I just said it just a minute ago. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Is that right? Stand fast in that liberty. Do you know that Jesus has paid for something for us? And it's a liberty. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. In my yoke of bondage, I'm going to say in my yoke that I call my preference or whatever. Not my preference, but what was my yoke was drinking. I had a drinking problem. And I have never, since that day, 1979, August 8th, 1979, I have not drank a beer, haven't had any desire to, have not, it has not even, come to me like sometimes you would be afraid of, you know, because, folks, I'm going to tell you, Alcoholics Anonymous, they kind of teach you that, you know, you got to maintain this thing, but you got to say it every day, I'm an alcoholic, I've been off of this for 20 days or whatever. It's a program of help, and it's a nice thing to try to help somebody. But I'm going to tell you something. There's only one place that you can get help. His name is Jesus. Jesus can break every yoke. Anything that's bothering you, anything that's troubling you, your answer, I'm going to tell you that this morning, is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I love about the presence of God? You know what I love is those secret things about the presence of God. One of the secret things about the presence of God is sin cannot abide very well in the presence of God. How do you know that? Sickness, disease has a hard time maintaining any kind of hold when you're in the presence of God. Is that okay? That's a cool thing. Amen? Because God is serious about what His Son has done. Is that right? Jesus died on a cross, shed His blood. He was whipped, beat. Hallelujah. Crown of thorns placed on his head, and the word. And when they whipped him, the Bible says that by his stripes we have been healed. God is serious about what he's saying to us. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know it's time to take God serious? Amen. Is that right? We got to take him serious for what he's saying to us. Hallelujah. How many of you have kids and you've told them, hey, you have to listen to me? How many of you ever said that to a child? Is that right? That might be what God might be saying to us this morning. Listen to me. Listen to me. What I've done for you. I have brought a liberty into your life that if you will listen, you'll find it's the greatest thing you've ever experienced. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Jesus died on the cross. When he died on that cross, if you believe in him, you died with him. Is that crazy? That's cool. You were on that cross. You died with him. 2,000 years ago. Say, what? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't, some folks that haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ can't figure that God knows everything from the beginning of time when he created everything. He knew from the beginning, he knew all the way to the end. Therefore, when he says that all your sins have been washed away by one sacrifice on that cross, he means what he says. He washed them away. Whether you believe it or not, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. He can say that to you because his Son has paid that price. Isn't that cool? That's so awesome. It is what's called the good news. It is really the good news. It really is. Folks across the street, up the street, down the street, across the border, that people need to hear this. Amen. Wouldn't you say? This is the best thing since, I don't know, Cheez-Its. How's that? How many like Cheez-Its? How many like little animal crackers? What do they call it? Little fish? Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the best thing the world has ever seen. Amen. It's the best thing. Hallelujah. And God says, in this best thing that I've got for you, I've got more for you. How many want more? Does anybody here want more? I say, God, just put one hand in the air. If you want more, just say, God, I want more. See my hand, Lord. I want more, God. See my hand. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, I tell you what. God sees that hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Time to let off on those things. The things that are keeping you from God, time to step away. Is that right? Is that okay? Time to quit doing what you've been doing and just say, hey, God, I'm not doing that more. I'm going to go after you, God. The next verse, can we say that? Can we put that up? It says this. It's Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. How many sense the Spirit of God in the house today? I'm going to tell you what. Where He is, there's liberty. Not liberty to do what it's liberty that God wants to place in your life so that you will know and understand Him, so that you can step into the things that He's created for you, that He's designed for you personally. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. Every one of us have a design that's different from the person. Look at the person next to you and say, tell them this, hey, my design is different than yours. Yeah. Have you noticed that there's not two people in the house that look exactly the same? And even if there was, because I know I've heard of identical twins, is that right? Even if there was, they are so totally different in God's eyes because He places a plan and a design within them. Hallelujah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that liberty is to step into what He has for you. Is that cool? Is that great? Oh, man. God is speaking to somebody here this morning. He has so many things for you. Ooh, man. Hold on. Amen. Hallelujah. Title of the message today is It's Worth Holding On To. It's worth holding on to. How many know we're in a world today that you know, and it's always been like this. People of God, men and women of God, have always seemed to get close to God and then get away from God. Is that right? And then they'll get back close to God and they'll get away from God. I can't tell you how many people that I've counseled have just gotten away from God. Yeah, well, time to get back. Amen? The door is always open to you. Get back. But the thing is, quit going out that door. Amen? Get in and stay in. Keep going forward with God. Hallelujah. This is talked about redeeming the time. Step in and keep going forward with God. And quit stepping backwards. Quit stepping away from Him. Because you're losing time. Is that okay? Is that all right? Know that God says, hey, it's time. Come in. Let me speak to you. Let me talk to you. Praise God. Glory to God. Liberty. Hallelujah. It's worth holding on to. It's worth holding on to. Hallelujah. So I want to take you into, we're going to look at a king in the Old Testament, and his name is Asa. So if you would you go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Hallelujah. Ooh, God. We're going to read about this king. I really like this king, the way he starts out. But you know, like a lot of folks, he starts out and then something happens. And so we want to just look at it and kind of compare ourselves with it and say, Lord, show me what you're saying to me in this. But there's a lot of very, very nice little jewels of scripture in this. And so be watching for those things, for what God is saying to you personally, okay? Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, as we read about Asa, Lord, the physician, Lord, that you would, Father God, speak to our hearts, Father God, about us. Lord, I'm asking you as a pastor of this church, I would ask you to speak to my heart about me in this reading, Father. Because, Father, I know that you have great things coming for me. But Lord, I pray for the people of God, your people, Lord, that as we read these things, Father God, they would know and understand what's being said to them, and that they would, Father God, go even deeper than where they're at today. Deeper into what you are saying to them today. Deeper in their mindset, Lord. of the kingdom of God. Deeper, Lord, in the things of God. Deeper, Lord, than they've ever been before, God. I thank you for it, Lord. And I praise you for it this morning, Lord, because you're a great and mighty God in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Some reading today. Hallelujah. Let's see if I get that. There we go. Give me a little more light up here. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was right, which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. I like this guy already. Amen? As soon as he began to reign, he took charge and he began to tear down all the images, everything that the people were worshiping, everything that was contrary to God. He began to go after them. Amen? Is that okay? And you know what? That's what I like about going. That's what I like about being in Green Valley and you being in Green Valley and all of you being in Green Valley. Well, you're in Rio Rico, huh? That's okay. But wherever you're at, that's what I like about it. You can go after the things that are contrary to God around you. Do you know that? And all it takes is the authority that God's placed in you. That's all it takes. You just say, God, by your authority, I speak to the evil. I speak to the things that are contrary to God in this city. In the name of Jesus, I come against it. And I speak, you got no place here. Get out. Amen. And just, it doesn't take much. Do that in your neighborhood. Do that in your house. You know, because some of us, come on, man. Some of us got to do that in our house. Amen. Get out of here, man. You can't be here anymore. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The authority that God has placed in you, it's a real thing. And that's what I like about King Asa. Gets into authority as the king, and he goes after the things that are contrary to God. Hallelujah. Folks, we're not just here to sit here and get blessed. I like being blessed. How many like being blessed? How many like the presence of God? We're not here just to sit there and do that. We're also here to stand against the things that are contrary to God. And that's not people. Amen? It is the things that are the mindset, the things that are being spoken to them, saying, hey, man, you are not sick. You don't have that problem. Or you know what? This country's not going to H-E double hockey sticks in a handbasket. We are. Hallelujah. Man, come on. We have that authority. And Asa takes up his authority and he starts cutting down the the groves and the images. And he commanded, verse 4, he says, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. I like this guy. Tells him, hey, start seeking God. Is that right? One of the first things Jesus tells us to do is to seek first, what? The kingdom of God. And his what? Righteousness, and all these things shall be added. See, it's not that God's not trying to give you things. He is. He's trying to get things to you. But it comes to you through righteousness. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Bodily exercise. Do we got any bodybuilders in here? Come on. Bodily exercise. Watch this. What do you think of them guns? Brother Gary says, they mean nothing. Bodily exercise profits little. Is that what the Word of God says? It says there's not much to it. But if you got righteousness in your life, you know what begins to happen? You become a bodybuilder par excellence. I mean, strong in the Lord, because righteousness, hallelujah, is profitable in all things. All things. You want to be a good bodybuilder? Try righteousness and you watch what happens. You want to be a good lawyer? Try righteousness and see what happens. You want to be a good policeman, a fireman? Try righteousness and see what happens. Righteousness will exalt the nation. Is that right? Hallelujah. And sin will tear it down. Hallelujah. And how many of you know our nation is being exalted? Okay. Nobody knows that? I'm going to tell you that. This nation is going to be exalted. Hallelujah. Our state, our city will be exalted because of the righteousness that's there. You got to know that. You got to understand that. Got to go after that. Amen. When the people of God go after righteousness, things begin to happen in the city. Things begin to happen in the state. People of God go after righteousness, things begin to happen in that nation. Hallelujah. We're going to see that. Watch this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah, the high places, the images, and the kingdom was quiet. What does that mean? Peace. How many like quiet? Hallelujah. When my grandkids leave the house, it gets quiet. Sorry, baby. It's just no, but you know, I love my grandkids. Don't think I'm mean, but I'm saying, hey, boy, you're mean. But I love quiet and peace. Isn't that right? I love my grandkids. They're great. Peace and quiet. And he built fenced cities in Judah, and for the land had rest. He had no war in those years. Why? Because the word says that he sought the Lord and he went after God. Because the Lord had given him rest, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build the cities, make about them walls, towers, gates, bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him. See how we have sought him. Yeah, we have sought him. Hallelujah. We have sought him. Oh, there's something about that. We have looked for him. We have gone after him. We have searched for him. Everywhere we go, we're looking for God. Hallelujah. We sought for him. Hallelujah. And he has given us rest on every side. So they built and did what? You see how God wants to prosper you? Folks, he wants to prosper you by you seeking after him. When you seek after him, you will find him. How many know there's a secret place with God? How many know that? How many know that it's a secret place between you and him? Nobody else is allowed in there. He says, just me and you. Because he wants to prosper you personally. This is not, hey, I'm going to let the pastor do that. Or I'm going to let the pastor's wife do that. No, no, no. You. Go into that secret place of the Most High and abide with God and watch what God does with your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Where's the secret place? Good. Jesus even said this. He goes, enter in your closet. Shut the door. And your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. That secret place. Hallelujah. So they built and prospered. Folks, I've got a anxiousness to build and prosper this house. This house. Next year, it's going to be a year of building. Building one another. Building relationships. Building and prospering. Amen? Watch and see what God does. It's crazy. Hallelujah. And Asa, verse 8 says, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 200,000, and 80,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Turns out to be about 580,000 troops. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. How many is 1,000,000? 1,000,000. Is that right? Good. Yeah. You're a winner. And 300 chariots and came to Mershah. And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephath at Mershah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Do you see that? These are some of these jewels in this scripture verse. These are some of these jewels that says, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, either with them that have no power or those that are weak. It's nothing with for you. You can do it with us. Hallelujah. That's the way to go to battle. Amen. The Bible says he went out first, and then he went and called out to God. He said, God, there's nothing with you. You know, the Bible says this, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Do you know that? They that know him, you're going to be strong, and you're going to be able to do things that nobody else can do. Why? Because you know him. Hallelujah. And that's what Asa's doing. He's cashing in on that. Lord, I know you. I already know you, God. Huh. It's nothing with you to help. So I'm calling on your help. Hallelujah. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against who? You, Lord. Not me. Not me. Not me. This was the king. He was the king of a nation. And he's saying, Lord, let not my enemies prevail against you. Praise God. This is a king. Hallelujah. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Set a million to flight. There, took off. We're going to jump down to chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him." Listen to this scripture. The Lord is with you while you're with him. Is that right? Hallelujah. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Do you understand that when you... I mean, you know, folks, let me just tell you, I understand sometimes it gets... You get tired. Is that right? Is that okay? Sometimes you get tired of reading your Bible. Does anybody get tired of reading their Bible? Good. You guys are all right. I mean, when I get into Leviticus, I get a little tired of Leviticus. Let me tell you that. Because Leviticus is kind of, oh, man, all right. So I do get a little bit tired of those things. But the Word of God to me, hallelujah, it's fuel. Is that right? It builds you up and strengthens you. And I understand sometimes we get a little tired. And there have been times when, I mean, I remember when I first got saved, when I was on fire for the Lord, and all of a sudden, I was reading the Bible once a year for about 4 years, 5 years. But then it started getting less and less and less and less. And I realized something. I could feel it in my spirit. There was something going on in me. I was getting weaker, even though I didn't, I mean, physically I felt okay. But I was getting weaker spiritually. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me one more. And he says, you know, do you realize you are losing your first love? No, I don't realize that. But let me just say this to you, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose my first love. I want to get back. So I got back. I started reading the Word again. And I do understand. I said that because I do understand where sometimes you just quit reading the Word of God. I do understand sometimes you're just not as excited as you used to be to go to church, to be in fellowship with all the folks that are in church. So I understand that. I understand what it's like. But I do know this, that it's a danger point in your life. It is something that's speaking to you. You're in a dangerous place. Get back. Go after your first love. Renew those vows. Amen? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Because God says, look, those that know me, he's going to take you to a different place. You're going to know him. You're going to know a better, you're going to have a better understanding of who God is in your life if you keep after him. Amen? So he says, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God. And this is still the prophet speaking to Asa. He came out to meet him, and I love the prophets, or I love the seers, or the men of God that come and speak to the king. When you're a man of God and God says, go speak to the king and tell him this, it can be a dangerous thing. How many know that? Because sometimes the king might not like it. Is that right? And sometimes kings do things to folks that they don't like. Is that right? So this guy is still speaking to King Asa, and he says, now for a long time, long season, Israel has been without a true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they, in their trouble, determined the Lord God of Israel and sought for him, he was found of them. How many times have we said sought? A few times. Yeah. Serious folks, seek God. Amen. All right. All right. And then he says, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to them that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. Isn't that funny how when you start getting away from the Lord, things start happening? Isn't that right? Sometimes things, I'll tell you what, cars break down all the time. Is that okay? But then there's all these little things, like a little, you know, your neighbor comes after you, man. Hey, man, you know, you go after your neighbor. Quit letting your dog go to the bathroom in my house, in my yard. Stop it. You know, I mean, all these little things start happening to you, and you start saying, man, what's going on? Because God sometimes is trying to get your attention, trying to tell you something. He said, hey, you're getting away from me. Hold on. I have something for you, but don't get away from who you are in me. Stay with me, is what God would be saying to you. Hallelujah. My car just broke down. How do you think of that? I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? He says, your car broke down, okay? Just live with it. All right. So, but listen, know this. A lot of times, things will start happening because God is trying to draw you back. He's trying to call you back. Hallelujah. In those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them with all of their adversity. Be strong, therefore. Now the prophet is telling Asa, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of all the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch. So Asa got even more fired up when this man spoke to him. And then in verse 9 he says, he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell out to him out of Israel in abundance. And when they saw that the Lord his God was with him, so they gathered themselves together in Jerusalem in the third month and 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord at the same time the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. Verse 12 says, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Here's another word, seek. We've been talking about sought, looking for, went after God. But this time, the king made a covenant, and he says, we're going to seek after God. We're going to go after him with all our hearts and all our souls. And verse 13 says that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be, what? Put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced for the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. God was listening and hearing these people as they were seeking after him. And they rejoiced in a law that said, if you don't seek God, you're going to die. They rejoiced in that law. Isn't that kind of crazy? It's kind of weird. Isn't that? Oh, man. But when you understand the implication of seeking God, it's not really weird at all. It's very powerful to you. Seeking God is a powerful thing for you. Hallelujah. And this, look, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, now Asa's going after his mom. Is that all right? You guys go, what's going on with this guy? The mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it and took it and burnt it at the brook of Kidron. And the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. He got his mom's idol. Mom, what are you doing? He grabbed it, broke it, is that what it says? And then he says he stamped it. Sounds to me like he threw a fit over it. Amen? But this is how much in the heart of this king, how much was in his heart to seek after God, for everybody to seek after God. Amen? Hallelujah. I love it. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or none come into Asa. Asa has been reigning now for about 36 years. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasuries, out of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go and break the league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart with me. What was going on with Asa? What did he do here? What did King Asa do? Rather than going to God, is that right? Rather than speaking to God, saying, God, hey, there is Baasha, the king of Israel, has come up against me. And rather than going to the Lord like he had before, he sent for a hired, hired gun, I guess. He sent and said, hey, I want to hire you to take care of this guy here for me. And how many of you know that's just not what God is looking for? Is that right? How many of you want to know what God's looking for? God's looking for you to look for him. Is that right? That's what he's looking for. And sometimes as we get older, we get comfortable. Amen? Sometimes as we get older, we just start living the life of everything that's going on around us. And God's saying, that's not what my intent is for you. My intent for you is to be different. You are a peculiar people. Is that right? You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. This is what God would be saying to you. So those things, for you to sit back and just say, well, you know what? I think I'll just go ahead and do something different. I'll go ahead and hire somebody to take care of my problems. It doesn't work with God. Amen? How many of you know that God's a jealous God? How many of you know that the Word of God tells us that he is a consuming fire and he's a jealous God? He doesn't want you to be going after anything else but him. Is that okay? If you seek him first, he says, I will add those things to you. Is that right? Is that okay? Isn't it nice to seek him first and then he gives you stuff? And then and what comes out of your spirit is, thank you, Lord. I never realized you had this for me. Thank you, Lord. You see, he said, I am the Lord thy God. I am the one that prospers you. You want a job? You need a good job? Seek him with all your heart. That's not leaving your Bible under your bed. That's not paying no attention to what God has been trying to say to you during the week. Watching, Blue Bloods. Well, I don't know. Watching whatever you watch on TV all week long. And not even giving God the time of day. Saying, good morning, Lord. Okay, I'm going to go do my own stuff now. No, that's not seeking God. Amen? Hallelujah. God is a jealous God. He loves you. And he says, hey, if you love me, come after me and you watch what I'll do for you. Is that cool? Hallelujah. So he sent for these guys. And he says, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go and break the league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Then Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa, and he sent captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. So what these men did, they went and attacked Israel, and when they were attacking Israel, Baasha, who was at Ramah, he heard that they were attacking Israel, so he said, you know what, we've got to stop here, we've got to go protect Israel. So they left King Asa alone. And Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah, built cities out of the stuff that was there. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa the king of Judah and said to him, here we go again. This is the last time. This seer comes in and he goes up to the king. And guess what he's about to do? He's going to tell the king about his problem. Is that okay? How many know sometimes we have people that will come and tell us something about us? Is that okay? How many of you get mad at that? Yeah. Hey, don't tell me that. You can't tell me that. You're judging me, man. Come on, man. I mean, sometimes somebody loves you enough to say something to you. Is that okay? Is that all right? Are you willing to take that kind of love? Are you willing for that? I say, you know what, folks, we got to be willing to hear what God might be saying to us. Sometimes we might not be hearing what God is saying to us. So he places it in the heart of another person to come and speak to us and say, this is what God is saying to you. And sometimes they might not even say, this is what God is saying to you. They were just saying, hey, man, you know what? You're different. Have you ever had that before? Somebody comes in and says, you're different. What am I doing? What did I do? I got a haircut yesterday. What am I doing different? And he said, oh, man. He said, no, you're different. You used to be really nice, but now you're such a mean guy now. I mean, it's, oh, man, that could be God talking to you, amen? You're different. You know what? You know, you're not as loving as I thought you were. Is that how many of you ever? Oh, man. Sometimes it's love that's speaking to you out of the mouth of somebody else around you, and it's cool. It's good for you, amen? So here this seer comes, and he looks at him and goes, hey, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. You see, God was trying to give him something. He said, I'm going to give you Syria so they quit bothering you. I'm going to wipe them out for you. But you did something different. You went around God. Hey, folks, sometimes we go around God a lot. Sometimes we do it more often than we know. Is that right? Sometimes it happens to us. We'll go around God. We figure, you know what? I got this, God. I'll take care of it. You don't have to do nothing. I'll get it. I got it, God. I can handle this. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, folks. God says, I want you to seek me. I want you to find out from me what I have for you. Is that right? I wish I could give you everything. I wish I could do that. I wish I could talk to you and say, bro, you know what? I got all sorts of stuff for you. God's got all sorts of stuff. Let me, you know what? He's got this job, a better job. I wish I could do that to you, but I can't. You know why? Because God wants to do that to you personally. He wants you in his presence. He wants you to seek him. Hallelujah. All I can do is say something up here that maybe possibly will inspire you to say, today, I'm going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to go worship God in the middle of the day. Is that all right? Tonight, instead of blue bloods, I'm going to go on my bed. I'm going to worship God. Is that an old movie? It is, huh? I don't know. And then this guy, Hanani, this year, is still speaking to him. He says this, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host? How many were in that host? Do you remember? 1 million, is that right? 1,000. Were not the Ethiopians and Lubims in a large host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered you from your, delivered them into your hand. Verse 9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. That's a jewel. That word right there, the eyes of the Lord flow, they go to and fro across the earth. Can anybody look to and fro to me? Looks this way. Lord's looking, and he goes this way. And he's going to look this way. And what he's looking for is our heart that is perfect toward him, one that loves him, one that cares about him, one that was saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Just help me, Lord. Just show me what you want me to do, Lord. And God says, the word of God says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro all over the earth looking for those that he can show himself strong towards. Isn't that good? He wants to show himself strong for you. He wants to show you how great he is. Isn't that good? That's a good God. Hallelujah. Then he says this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Isn't that crazy? Here's Hanani, he said, from now on, you're going to have wars because you have not been seeking God. How many of you like people telling you your problems? Do you love it? Do you love it when they tell you how wrong you are? Is it good for you? Yeah. They might be wrong, but do you have to get mad about it? Do you have to hate them? I don't want to talk to them anymore. You see them in Safeway, you turn around, go the other way. Forgot about what you're going in for, forgot your cabbage. Amen. We do word shame, but this isn't far fetched, is it? Do we do that? Oh, there they are. I'm going this way. Do you realize that's speaking to you, saying that there's something in your heart against that person? Do you realize that God is saying, I brought them to you so that you can deal with it? Do you realize that? That can be what God is trying to say. Look, I'm trying to give you more, but I can't give you more because what's in your heart is already taking the spot of what I'm trying to give you. Is that okay? How many of you know we can only hold so much? How many of you know that we are vessels? And I want my vessel to be big. Not in the natural way, but in the spiritual way. I want to hold a lot. Is that okay? Hallelujah. But you know what? If I've got something in my heart that's contrary to God, you know what that does? That takes the room for what God might be trying to pour into my vessel. So it makes my vessel even smaller. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Know that God is trying to fill your vessel. He's trying to give you. He's trying to show you things. So when you are sensing somebody in Safeway that you don't want to talk to, you say, man, I don't want to talk to them, Lord. Kill that old man. The Bible says for us to kill that guy. So you know what, God? I'm going to go talk. I love you, man. You're the best friend I have ever had, man. You know, I mean, you don't have to lie to them. I mean, I'm not lying to them. But know this, that when you break that thing, you're going to find out that God will break it. You step into it, God will break it, and next thing you know, there's a little bit more place in your heart for love for that person. And God begins to pour those things in. You know what? And you begin to react in ways that God is saying, now this is what I'm talking about. They're not turning around. They are loving people. They are going after what God has for them. Hallelujah. That's what God was saying. And Asa was wroth with the seer. See that? Got mad at him. Who was this? Asa was the king, and the seer was just a guy. Went up and told him, this is what God's saying to you, bro. Asa was mad with the seer and put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. Don't you tell me about who I am. I'm the king, bro. Is that right? Asa says, hey, you are wrong. Do you know that Asa knew that what he had done was not right with God? That's why God sent his seer to him to speak to him. You did not seek God. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. You know, can I tell you? I like that verse. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. I don't know if is that up there? Yeah, okay. Do you know that when we get hurt and mad at folks, do you know that it usually carries on to other folks? Do it a little bit more to somebody else. We'll get mad at them. We'll get mad at that guy. We'll get mad at that guy. And our whole, almost our, you know, everything within us begins to change because that little bit of anger begins to spread out. How many of you, do you guys know that the Bible says that a little leaven spoils a whole lump? Is that right? Sin is a picture of sin. And a little sin in your life will spoil everything. Is that right? Because it grows. It will get into all sorts of things. And God is saying, look, I've dealt with it, but you got to help me to deal with you about who you are and what you're doing. Is that okay? God is trying to do that with us. And that's what he's trying to do with Asa. He says, dude, man, you were wrong. And he throws him in prison. And then he started oppressing people. Bad attitude shows up. Amen. How many of you bad attitude? No. Verse 11 says, behold the acts of Asa, first and last. Lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 12 says, Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. And I want you to look at this. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. 2 years before he died, he got a disease in his feet. And the Bible records, the Word of God says, that he sought to the physicians rather than God. Hallelujah. And I'm just, and one of the things I just want to say to you this morning, what we've been talking about was seeking God, seeking after God. And you know, folks, you know what? People have ailments. Is that right? People have ailments. But the first thing to do with any ailment is go to the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Added to you as in what? Health can be added to you. But folks, we have to be seeking the Lord. Sometimes we go through some things that last for a long time. How do you know that? How many of you know that I've got a vision problem? Is that okay? How many of you know that I'm looking at you and I can see your head right above your head? Is that okay? I see double. Is that all right? I am waiting for God to heal this thing. You know that? I've had people say, hey, you know, why don't you just go get it taken care of? Hey, I've had three operations on this thing. Is that okay? I've had three operations. Went to see the physicians. And the physicians are telling me, you know what? We don't know. Your brain just doesn't know it's turned on again. My wife says, I can relate to that. No. So I'm waiting. So in case you think I'm picking on you about something going on in your body and something, I'm going to say, I'm the same way. I'm waiting on God, but I am seeking God. And I, you know what I feel? God, I trust you. It's okay. You know what? This is okay. I'm all right with it because I know there's healing there for me. When it's going to happen, God, that's up to you. It's up to you, Lord. Man. You know what that does for me? Gets that distraction so far out of my life. I mean, it just moves that distraction off to the side. Is that okay? Because, folks, how many of you know that sometimes we will concentrate on what's going on within us? Is that right? We begin to look at it and say, you know what, man, I'm just not good. I just need, I guess God's not healing me. We start saying stuff like that. And God is saying, no. I know all about it. Trust me. Find me. Seek me. Seek me. Seek me. Redeem your time with God. And you're going to find out that God's, what he's told you is absolutely true. Do you know God does not lie? He is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent or back away from the things he's told you. What he's told you is true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to turn to Romans. So Asa, yeah. Passed away at 40, in his 41 of his reign, he passed away because of the disease that he had in his feet, and scripture records that he sought the physicians rather than the Lord. And I believe it's recorded for a reason, because God is saying something to us. Seek me first. That's all. Seek me first. Come after me first. First. Seek first the kingdom of God, and you'll see all these things change. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll get an answer from here. I just want to remind you about, see, one of the things that's crazy, when Asa was operating in a time when the Holy Spirit would come upon people, come upon the seer, every once in a while would come upon him, the Holy Spirit would come and he would speak things, and he'd say, man, you know what, let's declare that everybody, if you don't seek the Lord, you're going to die, and all those kind of things. The Holy Spirit was coming upon him. But we are in a day today where Jesus has paid a price for us. And that price, God has set in that price, is a package deal for you. He sends us the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. And that's a cool deal. We are in a different age. We are in the kingdom age, where God comes to live with you and dwell with you and speak to you. Hallelujah. By his Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just want to read this thing. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 31. And it says this: what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you know that God's for you? That's a simple question, but do you know it? Do you know that God does care about you? Do you know that he does know that you have a toenail that's out of place? Do you know that? He knows everything about you. How many of you know the Bible says that he knows how many hairs are on your head? Is that right? He knows exactly how many, if you could, Lord, how many hairs are on my head? Isn't that right, Pastor John? Leave me alone about my head. Hallelujah. He knows you. He's not against you. He's for you. He really is. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? Does it say that? Is it saying that he will give us all things? Or are we just making this up? It says that. That's what the Word of God says. He didn't spare his son, but he gave his son so he can freely give you all these things that you're needing. Amen? Praise God. And it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that is risen again, is risen at the right hand of God. Who makes intercession for you? You know, I'm going to tell you something. They're going to call you crazy Christian. Is that okay?
Yes.
What this scripture is saying, who cares? What does it matter what they call you? Is that right? Who cares what they call you? Yeah, you're one of them crazy Christians. You're one of them born again. You know what? Guys at work do this, born again. I go, what's this? What's with your little rabbits? You know, come on, man. Come on, man. You know what? They say that because they don't understand it. But once you understand it, it is the power of God in your life. Is that right? You don't have to fight them about it. Say, cool, man. You don't understand. It's okay. It's all right, man. Yeah, I am a crazy Christian. And I don't care. Who shall bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies you. You. It's Him. So anybody tells you anything, say, whatever. Is that right? If they tell you something about who you are, say, hey, that's not what God says I am. Who cares? And then it says, what is Christ doing for you? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for you. Is that okay? Hallelujah. We are in a different age. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, rather is risen again, even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, your broken car, your house is leaking, your roof is leaking, the pipes are plugged. What? Can that separate you? Famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors. Is that what it says? More than conquerors through who? Through who? Come on, man. Through Jesus. We are more than conquerors through God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Who can be against you? Who? Because God is for you. Oh, come on, man. Hallelujah. He's for you, bro. Who can be against you? We are more than conquerors. How many like that? Amen. What I like about the word more, you know what it means? There's more. We're more than conquerors. Oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm a conqueror. You believe that you're a conqueror, it's good. But know this, there's more. Is that right? You're more than a conqueror. You're stepping into more. The more you get with God, the more God's going to give you more. Is that cool? Some of you didn't get that. The more you get in with God, the more God's going to give you. And you're going to get more. And you're going to know more. You're going to understand more. He's going to show you things. He's going to show you more things. He's going to enter. You're going to enter into things that you never believed possible for you. Is that okay? Is that all right? Hallelujah. We are not limited, folks. We are not limited to what we know about ourselves. Do you know that? We are hindered by what we know about ourselves because we allow those things to hinder what God is trying to say to us. Is that okay? We get hindered by what we think about ourselves. And you got to let that go and you got to let God say, hey, man, this is what God says about me. You are more than a conqueror this morning. Amen. Don't matter if your pipes are leaking. Doesn't matter, your transmission's shot. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Hallelujah. So then he says this, for I'm persuaded, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you realize the power and what's in these verses for you today? Hallelujah. You are more than conquerors. And verse 38, I'm persuaded. I like that. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded that God is for you? Amen. He's not against you. He loves you. Hallelujah. People all your life might have been telling you certain things that are contrary to who you are. Say, I don't care. It doesn't matter. The Word of God says this, that I am more than a conqueror, and God has great things for me. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would, just stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is desiring to spend more time with you. Is that okay? How many of you like that? How many of you know that God wants to spend more time with you? Is that right? You know that Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain with the Lord? Do you know that? That's a long time. Didn't eat. Didn't drink. That's a long time. 40 days, 40 nights. You know what I would be doing? I'd probably be laying on my back somewhere. I got to do something about this. 40 days and 40 nights. Because Jesus learned something. Jesus was showing us something. It's powerful to us to spend time with our Father. Hallelujah. God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants you to seek him. Everybody say seek. What does that mean? Look for him. Is that right? You might find him in a different place every day. But if you're seeking for him, he's going to show up. Because he knows you're seeking for him. Is that okay? Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is the best thing that could ever happen to you. Best thing. Because he does love you. He cares about you.